Friends, ask you to pray with me now that I may speak in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're coming very near to the end of our year-long journey with Mark through his gospel. We've travelled with Jesus and his disciples on their own journey from Galilee to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it's only natural for us to look forward to see what comes next, to experience that sense of anticipation which mixes excitement with dread as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem inevitably and inescapably leads on to the darkness of Good Friday. Or perhaps, being merely human, we look ahead with a different sort of expectation as the realisation dawns that next Sunday it will be November and that in our church life it's already time to begin, more than time, to begin planning our Advent and Christmas services. How much more the disciples and the crowds walking with Jesus must have looked forward to their own journey's end, letting their imaginations race on in front as they finished the stretch along the Jordan Valley and passed through Jericho. It would be only natural for them to allow their thoughts to leap over the last day of the journey, 17 miles or so of wilderness, difficult road up from the valley floor, 3,000 feet to the city of David. It's certainly easy to understand that the last thing they'd have wanted to do would be distracted or delayed by someone as irrelevant and unimportant as a blind beggar, however noisy he was. Yes, toss him a coin by all means, but hurry on by. And for good measure, tell him to shut up. Surely you've earned that with your coin. Yet that is not the way that Jesus works. And so we have this account of the healing of Bartimaeus, the last of the healing miracles in Mark's gospel, just at the point where Jesus literally makes the turn for Jerusalem. And in its own way, the story of Bartimaeus hurries us forward too, despite that brief pause in the journey, because as the scene closes, we are left with a picture of Bartimaeus himself disappearing into the distance as he hurries after his new teacher and Lord. And as the chatter of voices recedes and the tramp of feet dies away and the dust slowly settles on the road, Jeremiah's vision lingers. Here is the reality of the remnant of Israel being saved. A great company gathered together, sweeping up in its passing the blind, the lame, the weak, and the vulnerable, and going up to the city of David to celebrate the Passover festival and praise God for their deliverance. And that is certainly part of what Mark means to tell us in this episode. At the foot of that long climb up to Jerusalem, Jesus enacts a portion of that prophecy from Jeremiah. Bartimaeus, the blind man left at the side of humanity's journey, is healed and restored into the fellowship of the Passover pilgrimage. But to understand more fully what Mark is saying here, we need to take a brief look back up the road to the point, perhaps a few miles before Jericho, when James and John came up to Jesus to ask a favour. Well, more than a favour, to make that audacious demand which perhaps some of you may have been thinking about last week. Teacher, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. What James and John asked for is nothing less than to have the two most powerful positions in court when King Jesus sits on the restored throne of David. They want to be top dogs in the new kingdom once the final confrontation in Jerusalem has led to the great victory of their master and their friend and to his coronation as monarch over all of Israel. That may not seem to have very much to do with a blind beggar sitting on his cloak at the wayside, but Mark gives us two hints, very strong hints, to look harder. First, Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me," or "Take pity on me." But here's where sometimes even the best translations just cannot give a full sense of the original meaning. Yes, Bartimaeus asks for mercy or pity, but not in the sense of being let off or spared punishment. And he calls Jesus Son of David. That is the only time, this incident is the only time in Mark's Gospel that Jesus is given that title, not by accident. He calls Jesus Son of David to show that he knows exactly who Jesus is and what Jesus is. And that tells us the kind of mercy that he's asking for. He is asking for the overflowing loving kindness with which God will bring in the new kingdom of the covenant restored. So the real sense of what Bartimaeus is asking is more like this: Jesus, Son of David, give me a place in your coming kingdom. Restore me to the people of God. And a place in the coming kingdom is what James and John were asking for too, though in a very different way. And the second hint is this: Jesus asks James and John, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And he asks Bartimaeus exactly the same question in exactly the same words. Yes, singular instead of plural, of course, but otherwise identical. James and John respond by asking to be raised up into positions of the highest power, prestige, and honor. Bartimaeus asks to be raised up into a new life of clear vision and wholeness. And there's more than that. James and John have to be told by Jesus what sacrifices they will need to suffer, to make, if they are to go where Jesus leads. Bartimaeus isn't commanded to follow Jesus. He simply walks away from everything that he has and follows his Saviour and Lord. "Go your way," says Jesus. Bartimaeus knows that his way is to follow. So these two incidents on the road are very closely linked. The way Mark reports it, the healing of Bartimaeus is more than an enacted prophecy of the kingdom. It is a practical illustration, a counterpoint to what Jesus has said before. You must become as the weakest, most vulnerable, and least influential in society in order to gain your place in the kingdom. You must be like children, like the lame, like the blind. And when they ask for their place in the kingdom, they will receive it in full measure. "Don't seek to exercise secular authority in my name," Jesus tells James and John. "The places at my right hand and my left are places of shared crucifixion, not thrones of power." And in healing Bartimaeus, Jesus shows them that instead of trying to have power over others, they should ask for God's power to give them what they need. That is the new covenant to which Jeremiah looks forward, and which the letter to the Hebrews celebrates when it talks of Jesus ministering to us as the perfect high priest. That language and the whole metaphor of priesthood, I suggest, don't really speak to us as they would have to the original readers of that letter. But what we can take from it is the idea that all the things which we could petition God for, everything that we could ask for, all of those things are already known, and that God in Christ is already at work to do for us far more than we can ask or imagine. Yet even leaving the language of priesthood aside, that idea, that wonderful reassurance, that snapshot from Hebrews, doesn't quite give the whole picture. Perhaps it's like seeing part of a piece of machinery without being shown what makes it work. It takes the author of the letter to the Hebrews whole chapters, dense chapters, to develop the detail and get into the corners, so to speak. But Bartimaeus shows us by his actions not only what God's love and grace can do for us, but also what they ask of us. Because what Bartimaeus did took courage, took trust and honesty. He persisted in calling out, even when unseen voices all around him were telling him to shut up. He cast aside his cloak, which he would most likely have been sitting on, with a portion carefully spread out in front of him to catch coins from passers-by and stop them rolling away. So we have to think of him as leaping up in such haste that the cloak is tossed away without a thought, scattering far and wide whatever money he had. And he left his safe spots by the side of the road where he wouldn't get trampled. He blundered his way sightlessly through the crowd. Yes, maybe given a gentle nudge or a helping hand here and there, but having to trust that even in his darkness, he would be drawn to the light of Christ. And when he came to Jesus, he had the honesty to ask for what he most needed. Bartimaeus abandoned his livelihood as a beggar. He left behind all his old ways in order to gain the new life that Jesus could give him. And in doing so, he showed the watching disciples and the crowds, and he shows us how to walk in the way of the kingdom. We may not be like James and John. I dare to say, I hope that we are not like them, seeking positions of leadership and power. But we are like them in needing to learn from Bartimaeus, because the same honesty, truth, and courage which he had are also demanded of us today as we, in our turn, approach Jesus to ask him to give us not what we most want, but what we most need in order to live to the full the new life which is already ours in him. Amen.